Morning, friends. Hey, as you grab your seats, we're going to be in Matthew 6 today. So Carriage House, I don't know what it looked like for you, but as we were playing the game, it kind of exposed a couple things. Some of y'all are rule followers. You know, some of y'all were willing to trade your salvation to win a game. And I'd say that in jest. It's a joke. You can't lose your salvation over a pen. But it's also fun. You guys up there. This kind of gets like a very British feel, you know. And you lords up there looking down at the peasants down here. Thank you for hanging out with us commoners. But I love being in this place with you guys. Partly because just the rich spiritual history of this place, of the navigators, what God has done here over the years, but also partly because I just keep waiting for a giant murder mystery of Game of Clue to break out as well. Last night we looked a little bit about the urgency of the message. We beseech you, be reconciled to God. And we kind of came down pretty heavy on the urgency. This morning and tomorrow, I want to talk about, man, where does our confidence come in this? And knowing whose we are and who we are. Because to be honest, it's scary. I mean, let's be honest. To walk this world as citizens of heaven and foreigners in a strange land, it can be pretty intimidating. Looking around in this room, I mean, many of us walk on state campuses, and we're a people where this is, man, we walk in places where often nobody's just super excited that we're followers of Jesus. And the closer we follow Jesus, the more we find ourselves walking a different path than culture. And I would say that the more you follow Jesus, the more you're going to find yourself at odds with people around you. Not in a combative, kind of angry, like I'm just ready to pick a fight, you know, bullheaded Christian. But your value system is going to look different than the people around you. And that can be intimidating, guys. And it can be scary. And it can be hard to articulate this to your family, to your roommates, to your campus as a whole, to your professors. Early on in our marriage, Bethany and I landed on campus, began to grow in my faith, called the missions. After we graduated, Bethany and I got married and we moved to the Middle East, and trying to articulate that to my family in particular was kind of a unique thing. Got overseas, found out we were going to have our first child, and the first thing my parents said was, "Oh, that's great, so you're moving back to the States." We're like, why on earth would we move back to the States? We're like, well, because you're going to have a baby. We're like, people have babies in the Middle East all the time. And my mom said, yeah, but not our grandkids. I was like, Mom, did you know the Savior of the world was born in the Middle East? Like, it's okay. What would Jesus do? He'd be born in the Middle East. Like, we're in good hands, you know? Like, And so Noah was born in the Middle East, and then we moved to a new country, a new assignment, and found out that we were going to have Nate, and so we had Nate. So we had two kids in the Middle East. And then we came back, and there's this moment where I think it was home for Christmas. I don't even remember, but there's this moment where we're kind of all together, and my dad was like, "Hey, we're going to the store," and I was like, "I'd love to come," and my little sister's coming, and my younger sister. Then what? This point, when you're like in your 30s, nobody's little at this point. So my dad's in the front, my sister's riding shotgun, and I'm in the back seat. And we hop in, and so we get pull up, and my dad is like, "Y'all stay in the truck, leave it running. I'm just gonna hop in and grab a couple things." And on the way, Dad had mentioned something, and I was like, "Dad, that's really interesting." And I had mentioned something about, and that reminds me when Jesus said this. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, like, short, tweetable statement. It wasn't a sermon. It wasn't condemning. It wasn't the gospel presentation. It was just a kind of a short, "Hey, that reminds me of something Jesus said." Get to the store. Dad hops out. My little sister, I'll just kind of give you the My little sister kind of throws her arm back. She kind of looks back and she's like, you know, Clayton, you know why nobody in our family likes you? Because all you do is talk about Jesus. And I was like, wait, what? She's like, you know why nobody in our family likes to talk to you? Because all you do is talk about Jesus. And I was like, wait, nobody in our family likes to talk to me? And it was, you know, and it's like, wow, that explains several really awkward moments in our family, you know? But it was intimidating. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, we've got to figure out some things in our family. I remember coming back to Bethany and being like, hey, you're not going to believe what my little sister said. And in that moment, there were two things that happened. I remember Bethany's like, well, at least we're getting the point across. You know, it's like, we were like, okay, high five. At least we know they know where we stand. You know, like the disciples in Acts, it's like, oh, they consider themselves worthy. And on the other hand, we're like, okay, now we need to think through, like, all right, how are we sharing it? And you may be in the same boat. It's like, how do I share with my friends? And how do I share with my classmates? And how do I share with the people in my orgs? And how do I share with my family? How do I share with my siblings? Or better yet, I mean, how do I just sit in my class where my professor's degrading the things of Christ, and how do I handle that? I mean, how do I do this? And for some of us, it's just, man, where's my confidence? And how do I walk in truth and know that I can stand on this and handle this and walk through this world knowing and doing this well? And for some of us, that may not be the issue. For some of us, it's like, man, I'd love to be an ambassador for Christ. But to be 100% honest, I'm stressed out. How am I going to pay for college? Like, I'd love to be an ambassador for Christ. But I'm more stressed out of, like, how am I going to handle, like, just paying for this? Or my anxiety? Or my depression? Or, man, I would love to be an ambassador for Christ, but I'm stressed out about my parents' marriage. And it's not about the external things, it's about the internal things. And today I want to talk a little bit about, man, how do we walk in this confidence? And where do we find that confidence? So tonight we're having lip sync battle. Okay? And lip sync battle is hilarious because some of you are Enneagram 3s. Right? And it's like, this was made for you. Right? Like, spotlights were made for threes. Okay? Some of you are extroverts, and you were made for this moment. Now, some of you are introverts, but you're going to get talked into doing this. Right? An extrovert's going to adopt you and con you into this stage. And what's going to happen is you're going to find some confidence. It's going to be infused into you. And it's not because who you are. It's going to be who's alongside of you. Right? You're going to be up here and you're like, this is awkward. I don't know what's going to happen. And some extrovert's going to be like, whoa, we're halfway there. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, you know? And you're looking up and like, where did that come from? Right? And your confidence is going to come not from who you are, because you're the same shy introvert. But your confidence is going to come from who's with you. Right? You're still the same person, but it's who's with you. Same stuff happens when you're a little kid, right? When you're a little kid, you had a bad dream, right? Or you're a little kid and you wake up and it's dark in your room. What'd you do? You got up, you ran through the darkness, the thing you were scared of, and you ran to your parents' room. Now, in your room, there was a nightlight. In your parents' room, there's no nightlight. It's even darker in there because they had the blackout curtains. Because when you get old, and you'll find this out, you find reasons to stay awake. It's awful. But all of a sudden, it's darker. You still have the same mind. You still have the weird, whacked-out dreams when you're a little kid. But for some reason, you're not scared in your parents' room. It's the same darkness. You still have the same ability to have bad dreams. But you're confident. And you feel secure. Why? It's still the same you, same darkness. But it's about who you're with. You're affirming about whose you are. See, our confidence as an ambassador of Christ is not who you are necessarily. It's about whose you are. It's about whose you are. So I want to read this passage of Scripture because there's going to be a lot of things that we can lean in and say, oh my gosh, I'm stressed out about this. I'm stressed about their reaction. I'm stressed about this situation going on at home. But as an ambassador of Christ, if we realize whose we are, all of a sudden, these other things grow dim. And realize those are secondary. And so we're going to lean into Matthew. Okay, so Matthew 6, we're going to start off in verse 25. Okay? Now, Matthew, one of the things I love about Matthew is people say, how can I trust the Bible? Okay? Well, let me ask you a question. How can we trust that Alabama is not going to win a national championship this year? Thank the Lord. Right? Because there were eyewitnesses, right, that saw it. Matthew was an eyewitness. He was a guy who followed Jesus around, who wrote these things down. And so when we look at this and say, this is what Jesus said, it's because Matthew saw it. He heard it. He wrote it down. Okay? So this is trustworthy. This is an eyewitness account written down, given to in the time of other eyewitnesses. All right? So if I was to stand up in front of you and say, Alabama won on Monday, somebody in here would say, Clayton, you're a dirty liar. Right? And so if Matthew would have written something down that was false, other eyewitnesses would have said, Matthew, that's false. That's not true. Okay? But when Matthew wrote this, the other eyewitnesses that were there and alive during the time said, Matthew, this is true. We agree with this. Okay, so we know this is trustworthy. Eyewitness account written during the time of other eyewitnesses that agree with it. So here we go. Therefore, when you see therefore, you got to ask, what is it there for? Okay, so right before this, God's talking about possessions, stuff, okay? So we just got done talking about stuff, so therefore I tell you, stop worrying about stuff, okay? Don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or what you're going to, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food? In the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. Don't they sow? They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment of your lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon. Okay, pause. So Solomon, in our history, is one of the most wealthiest kings in our history, okay? So he was the guy that had the biggest kingdom, the fanciest riches. Like, he was the guy. The wisest among us, okay? So this is like a throwback to, like, we all know Solomon. Man, he had it all. Okay, he was the GQ of the day. GQ of the day. And all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the furnace tomorrow, won't he do so much more for you? You have little faith. So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For the Gentiles, pause. It's another fun Christianese word, okay? Gentiles. Some of your translations may say Greek, okay? So in this context, what Jesus is talking about is unbeliever, okay? So those that are not following the way, all right? So the people who are not following, these people, they eagerly seek after, they chase after these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. All right, we'll pause there. Notice what Jesus is saying. Guys, what are you stressed out about? What are you stressed out about? And he uses a couple examples. He's like, all right, what are you stressed out about? Are you stressed about food? Are you stressed about clothes? Which are kind of the two things in their day. In our day, we don't really stress out about food or clothes. because we don't live in that kind of society. Like, we don't have to, I mean, we go to the store. Like, we don't see the process of the... Has anybody traveled overseas, like third world country on missions and things like that? All right, if you spend extended time there, what's one of the most overwhelming things when you come back to the States? Yeah, I didn't catch any of that. The cereal aisle. Why is that? Why is that overwhelming? The overwhelming options, the cereal aisle. Yeah. So when you go to a third world country, like, you go and you get like one option to eat. When you come back to the U.S., like, you walk and it's like you've got 45 options of different kinds of processed wheat. Have you thought about that? It's like, how many different kinds of cereal can you have of processed, different shaped, flavored marshmallows? Right? For us, food scarcity is not a problem. But what are you fearful of? What Jesus is saying here is, guys, don't stress out about stuff. Don't stress out about stuff. For us in our day, what are we stressing out about? Do we have enough? Do we have enough whatever it is? Do we have enough money? Do I have enough to pay for school? Do I have enough grades to get into whatever? Do I have enough resume candy for grad school? Right? I mean, let's just kind of go there. Do I have enough likes on social media? Is the image that I'm portraying on Instagram enough? Am I enough for my parents? Am I enough? What are you fearful of? What am I going to major in? Some of us are asking the question, should I go on missions or should I not go on missions? Is this the right major? Some of you are asking that and you're a senior. I switched my major 4 times in college. One of them was my spring semester, my senior year. I have a Bachelor of Applied Arts and Sciences and General Studies with no specializations and no minors. It can be done. Some of you are asking the question, is he the one? Is she the one? Right? What are you stressed out about? Some of you are sensing from the Lord that you really are supposed to be sharing the gospel on your campus this spring, and you are stressed out about it. Some of you are realizing the Lord is calling you to missions. Some of you are realizing the Lord is calling you to give up your small dreams of whatever this major was, and he's calling you into ministry, and you are stressed out about it. You realize the Lord is calling you to something greater, to step into this leadership and begin discipling students. And you are stressed out about it. What does the scripture say? Stop worrying. Stop worrying. The grass doesn't worry. The birds don't worry. Somehow they keep showing up. Right? For crying out loud. We walked, some of us walked. I drove up to the castle and there were bighorn sheep. Right? I'm from Texas. We don't get things that big in Texas. All right? Not everything's bigger in Texas. And turkeys. I haven't seen a turkey like that except the one that we cooked on Thanksgiving. Right? All right. 10:02. All right. Anybody know Luke 10:2? Anybody got that memorized? If you do, go ahead and say it. What does it say?
Laborers are few.
Yeah. Yeah. Luke 10:2. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. So my alarm just went off. Let's go ahead and pray for laborers. Okay? Lord, your word says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So God, we ask that you would send laborers into the harvest. Lord, you said that the harvest is plentiful, that our campuses are plentiful, but the laborers are few. So God, I pray from this group that you send laborers in the harvest. And we pray these things for your glory, Jesus. Amen. Okay. And now, I've lost my thought. Bighorn sheep. And that didn't even help my thought, because that wasn't even on there. But what we've talked about is don't worry. Now, here's the thing, guys. When someone says don't worry, what's the first thing you do? Right? Like, don't think of a purple goat. Yeah. Did your goat have horns? Yeah. Okay. And Jesus knows this, okay? So look what he does in this passage. He says, on the one hand, don't worry. So take that out. But immediately he comes in verse 33. He says, so this is what you do. This is the application. Don't worry, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added and provided for you. Guys, seek first the kingdom. Don't worry, seek first the kingdom. Don't put your mind on all this stuff that has to happen. Seek first the kingdom. Okay? Don't stress about the grades, the decisions, him, her, your image, your confidence. Seek first the kingdom. The approval of your parents, no, seek first the kingdom. Their opinion, no, his opinion. Seek first the kingdom. When do you seek it? First. Okay? Some of us are like, no, I'm going to seek this opinion, this thing. I'm going to try to get this to-do list first, and the kingdom gets the leftovers. Well, guys, no wonder you're stressed out. No wonder you're trying to figure out why you don't have confidence. No wonder you're trying to figure out why you don't have peace and purpose and hope, because God's getting the leftovers, right? You spent all day trying to get all this stuff done, and guess what you got left over? Nothing. Right? It's the end of the day. Your emotions are spent. Your time is spent. Seek the kingdom first. First. That means the best of your heart, the best of your mind, the best of your energy. So when we ask God, what do you want me to do with my life? What's the kingdom say? What's the king say? I'm his ambassador first. I'm his ambassador before I'm my parents' kid. I'm his ambassador before I'm a college student. I'm his ambassador first. So the question, I guess, an application kind of to wrap us up to make sure we're on time. Guys, what are you holding on to? What are you holding on to, right? For some of us, as we've been talking through this, man, you're balled up with anxiety over whatever this is, right? This semester's got something. It's the grades, it's the grad school, it's what's happening next. It's a relationship. For some of us, it's sin. It's this sin. I can't give this to God. I can't give this to God. God, seek first the kingdom. And the forgiveness that comes, you can trust him with that sin. It's where forgiveness comes. Right? Beulah, who's on staff at camp. Beulah, I don't know where you're at. I didn't even ask your permission to share this. I'll ask forgiveness for this later. But Beulah and I were talking. So Beulah is on Campus Ventures at Chadron, graduated from Black Hills. But we were talking. So Beulah doesn't have a degree in ministry, right? Like everybody else from a state school. Beulah's got a degree in something useful, right? But Beulah graduated, right, and she's now on staff with Campus Ventures. And so part of this is like, seek first the kingdom, right, not the degree. But there's this releasing of, God, what do I do? Well, guys, I don't know if you know this, but there's just not like tons of jobs like, hey, campus ministry, awesome, here's a paycheck. It's like, campus ministry, awesome, go raise your salary, right? And I don't know if you talk to your campus ministry staff, I don't know if you've ever had this conversation, like, hey, mom and dad, thanks for that degree. That's super fun. I'm going to go not use it and raise my salary. You know? But that's an interesting conversation. But one of the things I love, as Beulah and I had dinner, we were talking with a lot of the Shattering folks, is we talked about stepping in and raising salary. One of the things Beulah said, she said, man, I met God in the midst of this and God's provision. I met God's provision, sought the kingdom first, and all this was added. What are you holding on to? What is it? The decision, the stress, the anxiety, the image? Guys, you want confidence to be an ambassador of Christ? Let go. Let go. Release it. The fear to step up as a leader, let go. Because it's about who you're with that gives that, that gives us the strength. It's about whose you are. Who's with you? Who's got your back? What are you holding on to? What do we need to let go of? Let me pray for us. God, I'm grateful for your word that rings true. That's God-breathed, that's useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, training us in righteousness. I'm grateful that you're a good father. And you really are concerned with us. And God, I pray that we would seek the kingdom first. That would be the banner that we march under. That when we walk on campus and say, man, these are people marked by your spirit and they seek you. So I pray for my friends today. God, I pray for whatever they're holding on to that they would release it. Pray these things for your glory, Jesus, and for your renown. Amen.